The United States of Horror may contain some graphic or explicit content. This is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Anything would have ever kept me from down that road. Talking about it, I don't think would have made that much difference. Because, like I said, there were things going on in my head that I would have never opened up and talked about with anybody.
Your dad says he never realized how deeply troubled you were because he just thought you were shy the way he had been. Shy as a boy. Do you think the signs were there and he just missed them?
No, I don't think so. Because, I had thoughts, I had fantasies, but there was no outward show of anything that was wrong.
You were pretty good at keeping it all inside.
Right, I kept it inside, didn't share any of my thoughts or emotions with anybody.
So how would I ever know?
No, you never saw any of it, as far as I know.
I did not really hear from anyone about any of these activities. And that's what really strikes me now, as if I would have known, what would I have done about it? I think I would have done a lot about it.
All right, guys.
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back. You're hearing from the man himself.
Me or him?
Jeffrey.
I'm the man. You know, like the movie She's the Man with Amanda Bynes? Amanda Jeffrey Dahmer?
Is that like... I wonder if that movie holds... What am I trying to say? I wonder if we were to watch that today, like, how well it would work in today's society.
Well, it would work really well, I would think, Kaylee.
I mean, oh God, what am I trying to say? You know how sometimes you watch movies from back in the 2000s and you're like, whoa.
Or controversial.
That would not be made today.
Yeah, especially like Tropic Thunder and stuff, and yeah.
Ugh. Yikes.
Yikes. Oh, okay, guys, we're getting off topic.
Anyway.
Jeff here.
And Kaylee.
And we are
the United States of Horror.
Sick.
So we're on Dahmer Part 2, Wisconsin Part 2. We're going to be diving back into the sick and twisted head of one Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
Jeffy Dahmer the cannibal, or Jeffrey Dahmer the people-nommer.
I like that one. Bad Jeffrey.
Oh, bad.
Not a good Jeffrey.
No, he's not.
So we started off with a clip of him saying that there's nothing would have changed. He was always like this. He was always going to be like this.
And if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I would suggest going back and listening to part one first, because we really dive into his childhood and what he was like in high school and just different elements to his upbringing that could have potentially led him down the path that he went. Although,
yeah,
later on... He really doesn't... He has a lot to say about that. He tries to divert people's blame away from his parents. I think he really tries to save their reputation in the end of it, even though there was very clearly some things that were happening that weren't so great.
Which is typically weird for, you know, serial killers, murderers, or everything else. Yeah. They always try to blame their parents, their upbringing. They always try to get an escape route. Mm-hmm. But he's like, no, it was just me.
He totally took responsibility, which, I mean, for the person that he is, and
you still murder first people.
Yeah, he still, it's easy to feel bad for him and take responsibility, but he's still a horrible human being.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. But.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna try my best for you guys.
Jeffrey's gonna take on this portion.
Jeffrey versus Jeffrey. Battle of the Jeffs. We're just going to slap each other around. Although, with our meat sticks.
You're pretty good, Jeff.
I don't get it, Keely.
They don't get it.
I hope they get it.
Some people might get it.
If they actually were my friends on Facebook and actually wrote to me or on my podcast, you actually know why.
Yeah, if people talk to us, geez.
Yeah, me and my three friends. Me, myself, and I.
Also, before we jump right into it, we got back from our Georgia trip, and we got to visit some really haunted places in Savannah, which was really cool. And one particular place, we got a lot of really cool pictures that we posted on our Patreon, And there's some interesting aspects to the photos, but if you want to see them, you'd have to be a presidential tier. So I would go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/theUnitedStatesofHorror. And yeah, check it out. We got some cool stuff on there. Some ghost hunting adventures.
Ghost hunting.
We have some ghost hunting episodes where we actually went to haunted hotels and did an episode there. And did some ghost hunting.
When did this happen, Keely? I'm joking. If you actually,
shut up, Jeff.
You know, subscribe and, you know, bought the presidency like everyone else does nowadays.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
You have to buy in to be president, didn't you know?
Of course. That's how it works nowadays. It's all about the power.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, all that said and done, we can get into it.
So, on November 20th, 1987, mm-hmm. Dahmer, at the time residing with his grandmother in West Allis, encountered a 25-year-old man from Ontonagon, Michigan.
Hmm.
Uh-oh. Stephen Tuomi. T-U-O-M-I. Tuomi. Tuomi?
Tuomi?
Tuomi? I'm sorry, Stephen. I'm sorry. Hey, I didn't kill you. I just, you know, butchered your name, so. And he... Well, we'll find out what happens here soon.
Jeffrey.
At a bar, he found him at a bar and persuaded him to return to the Ambassador Hotel in Milwaukee. So if some guy offers you to come back across state to a hotel with him and bar, would you do it, Kaylee? Then again, I guess it was more of a free...
If it was Jeffrey Dahmer, maybe.
So according to Dahmer... Oh, wait. So in the hotel in Milwaukee where Dahmer had rented a room for the evening... According to Dahmer, he had no intention of murdering him, but rather intended to drug and rape him as he lay unconscious. So, you know, no big deal. Just still.
Yeah, he wasn't going to murder him, though.
Just, you know, just... do dramatic emotional damage to him and his pride.
So, yeah, still a piece of caca.
The following morning, however, Dahmer woke up to find Tuomi lying beneath him on the bed, his chest crushed in and black and blue with bruises. Blood was also seeping from the corner of his mouth.
Seeping.
Sorry. Blood was not sleeping. It was seeping, guys.
It was taking a nap. His blood was taking a nap.
Go to sleep. Night-night. Well, speaking of taking a nap. Aww.
Aww.
Seeping from the corner of his mouth and Dahmer's fist and one forearm were extensively bruised. Dahmer stated he had no memory of having killed him and later informed investigators that he could not believe this had happened.
Oh, what happened?
What happened? We drug each other and I tried to, you know, do stuff to him. How did it get out of hand?
Even though I did this stuff before. I don't understand these murderous, intense. Horrible, intense fantasies that I've had. They actually led to something. What? Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, to dispose of Stephen's body, Dahmer purchased a large suitcase in which he transported the body to his grandmother's residence. Ugh. There, 1 week later, he severed the head, arms, and legs from the torso.
A week later.
A week.
Can you imagine the smell? His poor grandmother, how did she not smell that?
Well, maybe she had bad hearing, seeing, and breathing. I don't know. And what I don't know is why it took 7 days for the dry cleaning to come back.
What?
I was thinking dry cleaning. That's why it took him so long. You had to make sure his outfit was clean. What? Anyway.
I don't understand.
I don't know either.
What does dry cleaning have to do with him deciding to keep a body for 7 days? Anyway, I'm not going to try.
If you had to cut him up, you had to get all bloody. Okay.
Just keep going.
So, except for the head, you know, arms, legs, and stuff. He filleted, like fish.
Filleted,
thank you. Filleted, like fish filleted. See you later, dead filleted.
Jeff.
Then he filleted.
Filleted.
He fill eat head. He fill E-T-E-D. He fill eat head, like email, but eat head. Kitty, stop
so
laughing.
I can't.
And filleted the bones from the body before cutting the flesh into pieces small enough to handle. Ooh,
this is
kinky.
Horrible, and I can't stop laughing. Thanks,
Dahmer
Jeff.
Then placed the flesh inside plastic garbage bags. Blech. Okay, that's crossing the line. At least get nice bags, not the Walmart kind. You know, get the paper ones from Safeway or Fry's or something. Double bag it, you're fine.
It would see any. Okay.
That's why you double put a plastic bag in the paper and then put that inside.
Oh, God. I've had those.
That's true. Yeah. I used to do all the time, people. Just piss them off. I don't worry, guys. I work there.
People would request that. Yeah. What are you talking about?
So ever since I learned about that when I worked there, I started doing it to people now. Dahmer then placed the flesh inside, you know, the plastic bag, garbage bag. Oh, plastic garbage bags. Okay, that makes so much more sense. Yeah,
that's what you said before. That's
sorry, I was thinking, you know, like the like
Safeway bags?
Safeway, Kroger, Fry's, Walmart bags. Yeah. I was like, that was going to take forever.
T-shirt bags?
T-shirt bags, yeah. You know, the kind that you put in your bathroom on the door handle? Oh, my God. I was like, that's going to take forever. But, trash bags. That makes way more sense now. He wrapped the bones inside a sheet and pounded them into splinters with a sledgehammer. Ugh. Don't worry, guys. He didn't intend for any of this to happen.
Yeah, it was an accident.
It was a total accident. The entire dismemberment process took Dahmer approximately 2 hours to complete. Dang, he works fast. That's awesome. I wish he was like this, but his actual job and everything in life.
I know. He could have, like, chose a professional career that would have, like...
He could have been a big old strong construction guy, you know, working on smashing concrete. No,
he could have been, like, a butcher.
Or, yeah.
No, like, it wouldn't have been human males that he was attracted to, but if he just, like...
He could have just been doing it with a horse or something.
No, Jeff!
A horse, of course. Okay.
I'm so mad at you for saying that.
And he disposed of all of Stephen's remains, excluding the severed head, in the trash. So he kept the head.
He kept...
For a total of 2 weeks following Tuomi's murder, Dahmer retained the victim's head, wrapped in a blanket. After 2 weeks, Dahmer boiled the head in a mixture of Solex, detergent, and bleach in an area to retain the skull, which he then used as stimulus for masturbation. Eventually, the skull was rendered too brittle by this bleaching process. So Dahmer pulverized and disposed of it. So good job, Dad, for teaching him how to do all this stuff.
Thanks, Dad, for all my valuable life lessons.
You know how to, you know, bleach and do all that sort of skull. And then, you know, he's like, oh, that's a nice skull he got there. I like the skull.
Be a shame if someone removed it.
It'd be a shame if someone... pulverized it after a while. Terrible. So do you think he went to like old like natural museums and history and stuff
and like had to take a trip to the bathroom,
like, look at that skull. Look at that cow head.
Did we already say the whole he could have been a butcher thing?
Yeah, we did.
Okay,
so yeah, so Matt, that could have been his perfect dream job, being a butcher and then going to the museum on the weekends and just getting off in the bathroom. Like a normal person.
Like a normal human being.
But no, said Jeffrey had to do...
But this one was an accident, remember?
It was an accident. And then, you know, that especially for 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. No big deal. So...
I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. He had the mindset of a child. Just
fantasies.
Is this just fantasy?
Oh, gosh.
Caught in a butcher. Bleached Mama. In the skull. I just suffocated him.
I didn't mean to smash his chest.
Gonna bleach his skull and pulverize his bones.
Tomorrow, carry on.
With the next topic. Following the murder of Tuomi, Dahmer began to actively seek victims, most of whom he encountered in or close to gay bars, and whom he typically lured to his grandmother's home. There, he drugged them before or shortly after engaging in sexual activity with them. Once he had rendered the victim unconscious with sleeping pills, he killed them by strangulation.
That's so disrespectful, doing that in Granny's house. She gave him a place to live.
I bet she was watching.
Probably.
Probably.
It had to come from somewhere.
If it can, yeah. What?
What?
So, 2 months after the Tuomi killing... Dahmer encountered a 14-year-old Native American male prostitute named James Doxtater. Dahmer lured the youth to his home with an offer of $50 to pose for nude pictures. I would do $200, just saying.
Well, back then, $50 was probably more like $200.
But I would do more than that. So, at Dahmer's West Allis residence, the pair engaged in sexual activity before Dahmer drugged Doc Sater and strangled him on the floor of the cellar. Ugh. Dahmer left the body in the cellar for 1 week before dismembering it in much the same manner as he did with Tuomi. He placed all of Doc Sater's remains, including the skull, in the trash. He boiled the skull and initially retained it before pulverizing it. So, there it goes again.
This is where we start to see the MO emerging and the patterns that he carried on to a lot of all of his murders, basically.
What a piece of caca.
14 years old. That's so young. And he was already leading such like a...
Well, imagine that must have been like, hard back then because when you first you're a minority, and you're underage and you're kind of like not gay, but that's just a whole different mindset back then.
Well, they considered sex workers to live a high risk lifestyle. And so that's why a lot of the... I mean, it is a high-risk lifestyle being out on the streets. It is.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, there are things that put people in that situation, but it opens you up to a lot more danger. Because not people don't want to admit that they were doing something wrong if they get wronged in turn. You know what I mean? So men take advantage... Not just men, but people take advantage of that. And it's sad. It's very sad.
It is.
Dahmer took advantage of this poor boy. He thought that he was making out lucky.
Just take some pictures.
Yeah.
Do some stuff and nope. Bleach his skull and pulverize it. Not what I signed up for.
Not what he signed up for at all.
So on March 24th, 1988, Dahmer met a 22-year-old bisexual man named Richard Guerrero outside a gay bar called The Phoenix. Dahmer lured Richard to his grandmother's residence, although the incentive on this occasion was $50 to simply spend the remainder of the night with him. He then drugged him with sleeping pills and strangled him with a leather strap, with Dahmer then performing oral sex upon the corpse. Guerrero's body was dismembered within 24 hours of his murder, with the remains again disposed of in the trash and the skull again retained before being pulverized several months later. Wow. So on, and then on April 23rd, Dahmer lured another young man to his house. However, after giving the victim a drugged coffee, both he and the victim heard Dahmer's grandmother call, "Is that you, Jeff?" Although Dahmer replied in a manner that led his grandmother to believe he was alone, she did observe that Dahmer was not alone because of this, Dahmer opted not to kill this particular victim, instead waiting until he had become unconscious before taking him to the county general hospital.
Because at that point, he had given him enough drugs that he was basically going, he would have died.
Yeah, he would have died.
And it wasn't his intention to let him go, and so it didn't matter to him how many drugs he administered.
Yeah.
But at that point, since he decided to keep him alive, he had to drop him off at the hospital, otherwise he would have been dead anyway, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, in September 1988, Dahmer's grandmother asked him to move out because of his habit of bringing young men to her house late at night and the foul smells emanating from both the basement.
Emanating.
emanating from both the basement and the garage. Dahmer found a one-bedroom apartment on North 25th Street and moved into his new residence on September 25th.
I'm so mad about the
seriously, you use E for everything. If it has an E in it before the actual, like,
no, Jeff.
Words,
it's not like it's E-boy, like an email or E girl.
It's an electronic mail email. E boy, electronic boy.
Okay,
emo,
electronic mo,
electronic vation to cry. I don't know.
I'm literally crying.
So, you're emo?
Yes, I mean, no.
So, cut my wrist and black my eyes.
Come on, wrist.
So anyway, yeah. The following day, he was arrested for drugging and sexually fondling a 13-year-old boy, whom he had lured to his home on the pretext, I just messed that one up, of posing nude for photographs. In January 1989, new year, new Jeffrey, right? Wrong. Dahmer was convicted of a second-degree sexual assault and of enticing a child for immoral purposes.
Finally,
something. Sentencing for the assault was suspended until May 1989. Of course it was. Mm-hmm. Hey, you just got in trouble for doing this stuff to this little kid? Just put it on hold. It's okay. We should go after them drug dealers. That's who we should be worried about. Okay, sorry.
I know.
On March 20th, Dahmer commenced a 10-day Easter absence from work, during which he moved back into his grandmother's home.
Back to Granny's I go.
Hopefully he still had a score or two there.
Probably did.
2 months after his conviction and 2 months prior to his sentencing for the sexual assault, Dahmer murdered his fifth victim. He was a mixed-race, 24-year-old aspiring model named Anthony Sears, whom Dahmer met at a gay bar on March 25th, 1989. According to Dahmer, on this particular occasion, he was not looking to commit a crime. However, shortly before closing time that evening, Sears just started talking to me. Dahmer lured Sears to his grandmother's home, where the pair engaged in oral sex before Dahmer drugged and strangled Sears. So, imagine if he wasn't planning on it.
Yeah.
The guy came to him. He's like, oh, must be destiny.
No, but that's just like an alcoholic walking into a bar. I didn't want to drink, but there were beers all around me. Someone bought me a beer, so I decided to indulge. Or a drug addict going into a drug house.
Yeah. Or me going into a pizza store.
Like, I hate to, you know, compare murder to addiction, but
that's why he chose those places, because he knew that eventually it's like an addiction. He knew people would also go there too.
And most of the murderers who opened up, or the serial killers who have opened up, say that it was a compulsion, that they physically, like, it built up and built up and built up until they couldn't handle it anymore. And so, yeah, anyway, it's like being on a diet and going into a bakery.
It's like me with my pizza thing, and yeah.
If Jeff had it his way, he could eat pizza every day.
3 times a day. 5 times a day.
Or potatoes.
Oh, potatoes on pizza?
Potato pizza?
Potita?
What?
Popita.
Potizza.
Potizza. Imagine the crust has a little potato in it, and it's like fried pepperoni too.
Well, now we're going to have to experiment.
Oh my gosh.
Robbie, new pizza idea.
Robbie, help us. I don't think he listened to this. If he does, he'll be like, mind blown.
Well, if you guys haven't listened to our episodes on Out of the Blank podcast with Robbie, you need to go listen.
He's a good kid. Good kid.
Good guy.
Good guy. Sorry. I call everyone younger than me now kid. I'm one of those weird guys now. We're old guys. Like, hey, young son, how you doing? I'm 1 year younger than you. What up, kid? What up, Michael?
Anyway.
Back in my day.
All right, so back to Dahmer.
The following morning, we're in Georgia too long.
I guess so.
The following morning, that's loud. Dahmer placed a corpse in his grandmother's bathtub.
No.
Or he, not her bathtub.
Granny's bathtub?
Not her good bathtub.
Dahmer.
Dumb Dahmer. Where he decapitated the body before attempting to flay the corpse. He then stripped the flesh from the body and pulverized the bones, which were again disposed of in the trash. According to Dahmer, he found Sears exceptionally attractive, and Sears was the first victim from whom he permanently retained any body parts. So, not the skulls? Those don't count?
No, because he didn't permanently retain them. He ended up pulverizing all of them, except for Sears was the first one he kept.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
He preserved Sears' head and genitalia in acetone and stored them in his work locker.
Before he put them in the work locker, he had been storing them in a safe at Granny's. And one day his dad came over and he had suspicion that he had, like, nude magazines or something in the safe. And Dahmer acted suspiciously about the safe. And so after Dahmer refused to open the safe for his dad took it down to the basement and was going to crack it open.
Yeah.
And Dahmer convinced him not to. He said, okay, I'll open it in the morning. I have some
nude magazines,
you know, porn mags in there, and I'll show you what I have. And his dad was like, okay. So he showed him, I guess produced these nudie mags, and his dad just told him to get rid of them and didn't ask twice.
So he just brought him to his work.
He was like within, he was just so close to getting caught.
Yeah. Just messed up.
He didn't. And then after that, that's when he moved the head and the genitalia to his work locker, which is messed up.
Imagine going to work and it's our lockers, Kaylee. It's like, one wrong over. Oops, genitalia.
Huh.
And a head.
Interesting.
Talk about double-headed.
Two-faced.
What?
I don't know.
I don't know about two-faced, just double-headed dildo.
Oh, I get it. Double, okay.
Okay, there Stupid. You go. Wait, genitalia, is it the balls or just everything?
It was it all.
Huh.
He took all of it.
Interesting.
He, like, scooped it out like an ice cream cone.
That sounds hot. So, he then moved to a new address the following year, and he took the remains there. So, whenever he moved, he took it with him. On May 23rd, 1989, Dahmer was sentenced to 5 years probation and 1 year in the House of Correction with work release permitted in order that he be able to keep his job. He was also required to register as a sex offender. So this guy got to just say, oh, okay, I'll go once in a while. I gotta go to work. I gotta take care of stuff. I gotta go take care of this head.
And just report to jail on the weekends,
basically. I gotta take care of my head and shoulders.
Knees and toes?
Everything else goes. When Jeffrey Dahmer got your nose. I'm a rapper.
I'm sorry.
I'm a rapper.
Oh, okay. Our followers are like dwindling.
All three of them. 2 months before his scheduled release from the work camp, Dahmer was paroled from this Nazi regime.
That's Nazi funny, Jeff.
That's Nazi funny.
Oh boy. I'm sorry.
His 5 years probation imposed in 1989 began at this point. On release, Dahmer temporarily moved back to his grandmother's home in West Allis. Of course he would. Kid, I'm keep trying to get rid of you, but keep bringing men back here and doing weird things with them. I'm tired of it. Get out. No, I'll keep coming back. Baby, come back.
You can blame it all on Jeffrey. Me. Oh.
So he came back to his grandmother's house in West Allis in May 1990, moving into the Oxford Apartments located on North 25th Street in Milwaukee. Although located in a high crime area, the apartment was close to his workplace, was furnished, and at $300 per month, inclusive of all bills, excluding electricity, which was economical.
Something that they pointed out is that Dahmer knew that if he lived in a high crime area, that there were less likely to be
questions about certain things and leading back to him. Like if someone went missing, it would be more of a.
And there was a higher amount of racial profiling back then, and he was a white guy in a mainly black neighborhood. So he kind of stood out, but at the same time, people didn't think twice about the nerdy white guy. Who spent a lot of time in his apartment.
They figured he was just some young white guy just trying to move up in the world. And he was out there for, you know, just trying to start off there.
The bottom line is he was really strategic with planning on where he was living and, and all of that.
Especially for so cheap and everything else.
He wasn't going to be questioned a whole lot. So
the 924 North 25th Street 1990s killings. So these are the kind of more messed up ones, I think.
They're all messed up.
I don't know. On May 14th, 1990, Dahmer moved out of his grandmother's house, you know, onto that street apartment, taking Sears' mummified head and genitals with him. How lovely. Housewarming gift to himself. It's a housewarming gift to me.
Decorating. He's got a specific vibe.
Put the head of the household right there.
Oh my god.
Within 1 week of his moving into his new apartment, Dahmer had killed his sixth victim, Raymond Smith. Smith was a 32-year-old male prostitute whom Dahmer lured to the apartment 213 with a promise of $50 for sex. Inside the apartment, he gave Smith a drink laced with 7 sleeping pills and manually strangled him. So, I know a lot of people who need more than 7. Nowadays, like, well, I built up an immunity.
I don't know. They might have been stronger sleeping pills back then, too.
That's true.
I don't know how much they regulated that.
not probably back not then. Much. Not back then. The following day, Dahmer purchased a Polaroid camera, with which he took several pictures of Smith's body in suggestive positions before dismembering him in the bathroom. He boiled the legs, arms, and pelvis in a steel kettle with Soilex, which allowed him then to rinse the bones in his sink. Dahmer dissolved the remainders of Smith's skeleton, excluding the skull, in a container filled with acid. He later spray painted Smith's skull, which he placed along the skull of Sears upon a black towel inside a metal filing cabinet. No big deal, right?
Yeah.
Just decoration.
There are some of the Polaroids out there.
They're kind of rough.
They're extremely rough. I don't know what else to say about that besides if you wanted to go looking for them, they're on Reddit. Just be prepared that they're very brutal. They are gruesome, and it's hard to wrap your head around what you're looking at. So if you don't think you can handle it, I wouldn't suggest going and looking for them, but... Unfortunately, I've already seen so many crime scene photos that I've kind of been...
Desynthesized?
Desynthesized.
Like, Peter, desynthesize the beat. Like, make a beat. Desynthesize.
No, stop. Anyway.
Do the Tide. Tide challenge.
Also, Dahmer drew out the throne that he wanted to create with all of the skeletons and skulls. It was like a...
A throne.
It was like a throne statue type of Game of Thrones.
I was going to say, Game of Thrones with the swords? Imagine skulls.
Kind of. That's hot. It was more of like, what is it called? Not a throne. Anyway, that's out there too. I'll try to post pictures of that.
Yes. Approximately 1 week after the murder of Smith, on or about May 27th. So, on or about. We don't know. Dahmer lured another young man to his apartment. On this occasion, however, Dahmer himself accidentally consumed the drink laden with sedatives intended for consumption by his guests. When he awoke the following day, he discovered his intended victim had stolen several items of his clothing, $300 and a watch.
Which he deserved. That's his karma.
Does he report a police report?
He's lucky that he didn't... He's lucky that he didn't die.
I know. What if someone did that to him? He's like, hey, buddy, how's it hanging? No, to the left, but...
Oh.
What?
What? Well, there's some in my closet hanging. Oh, you mean... Okay.
There's one on my mantle.
Anyway.
Dahmer never reported this incident to the police, although on May 29th, he divulged to his probation officer that he had been robbed. So, good job, dude. Good job.
Yep.
In June 1990... Dahmer lured a 27-year-old acquaintance named Edward Smith to his apartment. He dragged and strangled Smith on this occasion. Rather than immediately acidifying the skeleton or repeating previous processes of bleaching, which he did with his previous victims, Dahmer placed Smith's skeleton in his freezer for several months in the hope that it would not retain moisture. Ew. Freezing the skeleton did not remove moisture, and the skeleton of his victim would be acidified several months later. Dahmer accidentally destroyed the skull when he placed it in the oven to dry, a process that caused the skull to explode.
Can you imagine, like, just hearing a pop, a really loud pop from your neighbors?
And you're like, oh man, that was a good head.
Oh.
What? Just like, you know, you forget your keys in the microwave.
What?
So like when you leave your keys in the microwave and then they explode and cause everything to short fry.
Short fry?
Short fry. Fry short.
What are you talking about?
You're short fry.
You're making me laugh too. I had too much coffee.
I want short fries with a skull, please. Check, please.
Check, please. Anyway.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah.
Dahmer.
You know, the head. Freezing skeleton, you know, the head where, you know, to explode. Dahmer himself was to later inform police he had felt rotten about Smith's murder as he had been unable to retain any body parts of his body.
Any parts of his body?
Thank you. My brain is stupid. I'm a bobo. So less than 3 months after the murder of Smith, Dahmer encountered a 22-year-old Chicago native named Ernest Miller on a corner of North 27th Street. Miller agreed to accompany Dahmer to his apartment for $50 and further agreed to allow him to listen to his heart and stomach. Oh my. Listen to your heart.
Oh God.
You'll be waiting.
That's when you turn around and run. Ladies, gentlemen, if you are ever
a with sex someone worker
who just wants to pay you to listen to your heart,
that's not run. That bad. I listen to people's hearts.
You listen to people's hearts?
Yeah, when they talk to me, I open up my heart to their heart. Oh, right, wrong listening the heart, sorry.
Shut up, Jeff.
Okay. When Dahmer attempted to perform oral sex on Miller, he was informed, "That'll cost you extra." This guy is straight savage. Yeah, $50 to just listen to my heart? Hell yeah. You want to give me oral? No, that'll cost you extra. Give me money. Suck it to me.
Suck it to me.
Whereupon, Dahmer gave his intended victim a drink laced with 2 sleeping pills. So that's kind of interesting. He didn't drug him first. He just wanted to do everything first and then do it. Was maybe because he said it'll cost extra, maybe that pissed him off.
Maybe he was trying to be
actual genuine.
But it's doubtful.
You never know.
You never know.
And then he's like, oh, that'll cost you. And then he's like, oh, never mind, I'm going back to my old ways.
Oh, this is why I try to make zombies.
Dahmer wrapped Miller's heart. Oh, wait, what happened?
What happened?
On this occasion, Dahmer had only 2 sleeping pills to give his victim. Therefore, he killed... Sorry.
This is not funny. Why are you laughing?
I'm like, how'd I get here? How'd I get 3 paragraphs ahead?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's so loud.
Yeah, it is.
On this occasion, Dahmer had only 2 sleeping pills to give his victim. Therefore, he killed Miller by slashing his carotid artery with the same knife he used to dissect his victim's bodies.
Ugh.
Miller bled to death within minutes. Dahmer then posed the nude body for various suggestive Polaroid photographs before placing the body in his bathtub for dismemberment. Dahmer repeatedly kissed and talked to his severed head while he dismembered the remainder of the body.
Ugh, this makes me sick.
He just wanted some love, Kaylee. He just wanted kisses and cuddles. And he wants coffee and Starbucks.
That's what I want, but I'm not going to dismember you and kiss your head.
Please, kiss the head. Kiss the touch. Touch the... Kiss the tips touch.
You know, maybe I will dismember your head.
Which one?
If this sees the light of day, then I didn't.
Kaylee's going solo and Jeff moved away. What?
If our next episode is just me, don't check on Jeff.
Don't worry about me.
Don't worry about it.
Dahmer wrapped Miller's heart, biceps, and portions of flesh from the legs in plastic bags and placed them in the fridge for later consumption. He boiled the remaining flesh and organs into a jelly-like substance using Soilex. So, you know, like Shrek? Squeeze a jelly from their eyes.
It's so disgusting.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So, this is getting into the cannibalism part. So, without further ado, here's Jeffrey talking about his cannibalism. Yay!
I started saving the skeletons and preserving other parts. And one thing led to another. It took more and more deviant type behaviors to satisfy my urges. And so it just spiraled out of control. Why the cannibalism?
It made me feel like they were a permanent part of me. Besides the just mere curiosity of what it would be like, it made them feel that they were a part of me, and it gave me a sexual satisfaction to do that.
Was it the killing that excited you, or is it what happened after the killing?
No, the killing was just a means to an end. That was the least satisfactory part. I didn't enjoy doing that.
So, yeah. Sexual satisfaction from the jelly-like substances. Which again enabled him to rinse the flesh off the skeleton. Ooh, like butter. Just like butter.
Just falls right off the bone. Oh god, I'm never gonna be able to eat barbecue ever again.
Mm, like a roast, nice roast.
No, oh, you're gonna make me puke. Just
pee on it, Jeff, and nibble on it. Blah,
blah, blah. I'm not kidding, I will vomit all over.
Which he intended to retain. To preserve the skeleton, Dahmer placed the bones in a light bleach solution for 24 hours before allowing them to dry upon a cloth for 1 week. The severed head was initially placed in the refrigerator before also being stripped of flesh, then painted and coated with enamel. So he took care of his stuff.
Arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts, man. He went whack girl basic on
them. Jeffrey Dahmer, arts and crafts.
Do you have any potential victims? I mean, volunteers.
Talk about a real piece of artwork.
What a meat. What a piece of meat.
It takes a lot of patience to produce that kind of...
I got a bone to pick with your idea.
Oh, God, stop.
Okay. We tried to be funny, but we couldn't.
I'm sorry. We're not funny.
3 weeks after the murder of Miller, on September 24th, Dahmer encountered a 22-year-old man named David Thomas at the Grand Avenue Mall and persuaded him to return to his apartment for a few drinks, with additional money on offer if he would pose for photographs. In his statement to police after his arrest... Dahmer stated that after giving Thomas a drink laden with sedatives, he did not feel attracted to him, but was afraid to allow him to awake in case he would be angry over having been drugged. Therefore, he strangled him and dismembered the body, intentionally retaining no body parts whatsoever.
Are you having a stroke?
Stroke. He photographed the dismemberment process and retained those photographs, which later aided in Thomas's subsequent identification. So, he's like, I didn't want to, but I didn't want to get in trouble, so...
I figured I'd just do it.
This might as well.
That's like whenever I want to go get my favorite sushi, but they're closed, so I have to go to Fry's.
Yeah.
It's unsatisfying.
You see, it's not you, it's me. I'm not worried about you, I'm worried more about me.
I'm sorry I keep making comparisons to Jeffrey Dahmerisms, but you know, we got to make sense of it somehow.
I mean, you're with the Jeffrey, so your dream come true.
How'd you know?
I'm Jeffrey. I like apples. Following the murder of Thomas, Dahmer did not kill anyone for almost 5 months. Wow.
He got down on himself because he felt like it was a pointless kill, because to him, he felt like if he retained something from them, then they were of value and... Yeah, whatever.
Although on a minimum of 5 occasions between October 1990 and February 1991, he unsuccessfully attempted to lure men to his apartment. He is also known to have regularly complained of feeling of both anxiety and depression. Same.
Well, I wonder why.
To his probation officer throughout 1990. With frequent references to his sexuality, his solitary lifestyle, and financial difficulties... On several occasions, Dahmer is also known to have referred to harboring suicidal thoughts.
Well,
he
was holding in a lot of deep, dark secrets.
See, if I'm not doing all this stuff and bleaching skulls, I get suicidal. Dude, just do it.
Just do what?
He needed to just do it.
Just kill himself?
Yes, Jeffrey. Normally, I don't ever encourage that. It's not right. But if this guy who's like, oh, I shouldn't have got him in trouble, but I was just worried about me getting in trouble. Yeah, you're a piece of shit. Sorry, I got really aggressive. You can cut that out if you want.
No, it's okay. I don't know. I just don't know how to feel about all of that. I get what you're saying. I don't think that he was a good person or that he deserved to have anything good happen to him after what he did and after all the lives that he took from those families, but that's heavy.
Yeah.
It's really heavy.
That was heavy. But we're talking about more heavy stuff with him.
I know. Stuff, so. I guess we try to joke and laugh. We've mentioned this before, but I disassociate as much as I can from it because if I truly...
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
When you think of the actual truth and like to the core of it, it's heavy.
What did you call me?
Is that a fat joke?
You call me fat? What?
What?
I can't hear you with all my blubber in my ear.
Shut up, Jeff.
So, in February 1991, Dahmer observed a 70-year-old named...
named?
Manned. Excuse me, manned.
And 17-year-old is not a man. That is a boy.
He could be a young man.
He's a boy.
Are you discriminating against his manhood?
He's 17.
So?
He's a child.
He could drive.
He was standing at the bus stop, so obviously not.
No. He could be poor, Kaylee. Poor people can't afford cars.
So he probably wasn't driving. So he was a boy.
So.
Just keep going.
Curtis Strotter, standing at a bus stop near Marquette University. Marquette University. According to Dahmer, he lured Strotter into his apartment with an offer of money for posing for nude photos. With an added incentive of sexual intercourse, Dahmer drugged and strangled him with a leather strap, then dismembered him, retaining the youth's skull, hands, and genitals, and photographing each stage of the dismemberment. Stage of the tearing apart process.
Jeff. No.
Less than 2 months later, on April 7th, Dahmer encountered a 19-year-old named Errol Lindsay walking to get a key cut. Lindsay was heterosexual. Dahmer lured Lindsay to his apartment where he drugged him, drilled a hole into his skull, and poured hydrochloric acid into it. Ugh. According to Dahmer, Lindsay awoke after this experiment, which Dahmer had conceived in the hope of inducing a permanent, unresistant, submissive state, a zombie, saying, "I have a headache. What time is it?" In response to this, Dahmer again drugged him, strangled him. He decapitated Lindsay and retained the skull. He then flayed Lindsay's body, placing the skin in a solution of cold water and salt for several weeks in the hope of permanently retaining it. Reluctantly, he disposed of Lindsay's skin when he noted it had become too frayed and brittle. So, he tried to start right here with the zombie process.
Yes.
Which we have a video for you guys.
Yeah.
So, ready?
That was the least satisfactory part. I didn't enjoy doing that. That's why I tried to create living zombies with muriatic acid in the drill. But it never worked. No, the killing wasn't the objective. I just wanted to have the person under my complete control, not having to consider their wishes, being able to keep them there as long as I wanted. It's not easy to say that, but that's what the motive was.
Where did that need for control come from? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. Maybe I felt... I had no control as a child or young adult, and that got mixed in with my sexuality, and I ended up doing what I did was my way of feeling in complete control, at least for that situation. I mean, they didn't let me run wild. They disciplined me, and so I felt accountable to them, but afterwards... After I left the home, that's when I started wanting to sort of create my own little world where I could be the one who had the complete control, where I didn't have to bow to anyone else's demands, and I just took it way too far.
So we kind of see where he is expressing his feelings towards his childhood, feeling like he's out of control. And as a result, this is of that feeling, he tries to take control in a different way in his later years. And he explained he wanted someone who wouldn't resist, who couldn't leave. And we've seen that a couple times where he was with someone and then they wanted to go, and that's when he strangled them. That's whenever he killed them.
Yeah.
So he's really, what he's seeking is he wants a partner who he can be with and do what he wants with without them having any sort of will of their own.
Yes. He would just do whatever he wants.
And that's why he took the drill and he started experimenting, trying to create what he describes as a living zombie, so that he didn't have to deal with the decay process. He wanted a warm body to cuddle up with that wouldn't resist or say no or have to leave or have their own prerogative or, yeah.
You know, who would still get sexually active and stuff and
yeah,
do the whole mating process. And so the whole drilling the hole and pouring acid into it. And this guy said, "I have a headache. What time is it?" So he's still functioning.
Yeah.
So
I have a headache. Ugh, that's so devastating.
What's going on? What time is it?
Can you imagine?
Having acid and stuff in your head and, ugh.
Poor guy. What a terrible, ugh, anyway.
So, by 1991, fellow residents of the Oxford Apartments had repeatedly complained to the building's manager of foul smells emanating from apartment 213, in addition to the sounds of falling objects and the occasional sound of a chainsaw. Oh, no big deal. So there's really bad smell on a chainsaw from this guy's room. Is that normal?
Could you check on that?
Can you make sure he's okay? He might have tripped on it. So Princewell, the owner, did contact Dahmer in response to these complaints on several occasions, although he initially excused the odors emanating from his apartment as being caused by his freezer breaking, causing the contents to become spoiled. On later occasions, he informed Princewell that the reason for the resurgence of the odor was that several of his tropical fish had recently died, that he would take care of the matter. So, this is my freezer. Bad meat. My fish died. So, everything is always the same smell, but it's always different things. On the afternoon of May 26, 1991, Dahmer encountered a 14-year-old named Konerak Synthesimophone. Synthesimophone. Mr. Sourphone. So, Konerak on Wisconsin Avenue. By coincidence, Konerak was a younger brother of the boy whom Dahmer had molested in 1988.
And Dahmer was actually charged for molesting his older brother.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Isn't that bananas?
So, he approached a youth with an offer of money to accompany him to his apartment to pose for Polaroid pictures. According to Dahmer, Konerak was initially reluctant to the proposal. I would be too. You touched my brother.
He doesn't know. He was too young at the time to understand.
You never know. I'm like, hey, by the way,
they didn't recognize each other.
You never know. I was like, if my brother said that to me, I would be like, you need to be careful now. You need to bring a bear lace and bear mace.
What is that, like
a bear,
like
mace,
like a teddy bear,
bear,
like
mace,
like a teddy,
those little, you know, mace, Kaylee.
Yeah, I know, but bear lace.
Bear lace, bear mace.
There's those, like, 90s, those lingerie. They're, you know, called, like, teddy.
I was thinking, like, a mace, like an old-time mace from, like, the, you know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but anyway.
For the Kingdom of England, swinging a mace around, whacking people.
All right.
With a bear on it. Okay. So, you made me lose my spot, Kaylee.
He was apprehensive or whatever.
Yeah, he was initially reluctant to the proposal, before changing his mind and accompanying him to his apartment, where the youth posed for two pictures in his underwear, before Dahmer drugged him into unconsciousness and performed oral sex on him. On this occasion, Dahmer drilled a single hole into his skull, through which he injected the acid into the frontal lobe. Before he fell asleep, unconscious, Dahmer led the boy into his bedroom where the body of 31-year-old Tony Hughes, who Dahmer had killed 3 days earlier, lay naked on the floor. According to Dahmer, he believed the boy saw this body, yet did not react to seeing the bloated corpse. Likely because of the effects of the sleeping pills he had ingested and the acid Dahmer had injected through his skull. So, this poor kid...
I know.
...soon became unconscious, whereupon Dahmer drank several beers while lying alongside him before leaving his apartment to drink at a bar, then purchase more alcohol.
Which is pretty ballsy for him to get up and leave when he has this unconscious kid, like...
with another dead body in the same room.
Yeah. This poor kid. My heart just breaks. I hate this part.
So, in the early morning hours of May 27th, Dahmer returned towards his apartment to discover the kid sitting outside naked on the corner of 25th and State, talking in Leo with three distressed young women standing near him. Dahmer approached the trio and explained to the woman that the kid, whom he referred to by the alias John Humang, was his friend and intended to lead him to his apartment by the arm. The three women dissuaded Dahmer, explaining they had phoned 911. Upon the arrival of two Milwaukee police officers, John Balserzak and Joseph Grabrish. Man, guys, I'm feeling really bad.
You're doing great, Jeffy.
You should wait until Kelly gets back into it. He informed the officers that he was his 19-year-old boyfriend, and that he had drunk too much following a quarrel, and that he frequently behaved in this manner when intoxicated. The three women were exasperated, and when one of the trio attempted to indicate to one of the officers that he was bleeding from his buttocks and that he had seemingly struggled against Dahmer's attempt to walk him to the apartment, the officer harshly informed her to butt out, shut the hell up, and to do not interfere, adding the incident was domestic.
You can keep going and then I'll say my piece.
All right. After the protests of the three women, the officer simply covered the boy with a towel and walked him to Dahmer's apartment where, in an effort to verify his claim that he and the kid were lovers, Dahmer showed the officers the two semi-nude Polaroid pictures he had taken of the youth the previous evening. The officers later reported having noted a strange scent reminiscent of excrement inside the apartment. Excrements inside the apartment. You know, the smell of the decomposing body. Dahmer stated that to investigate this, one officer simply peeked his head around the bedroom, but didn't really take a good look. The officer then left with the departing remark that Dahmer take good care of him. Kelly? What? You okay?
No, I'm so mad. Because if these officers had simply looked the boy's name up or done anything, tried to figure out who he was, they could have seen that his older brother or that Dahmer had been charged. Like, even if they did a background check on Dahmer, if they had done anything, they would have seen that he had a record.
The boy was bleeding from his buttocks. He was
bleeding.
That could have been an altercation.
He was speaking gibberish. But they didn't want to get involved in someone's domestic situation. Yeah, especially because it was a gay couple. And back then, they didn't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
It made them uncomfortable. And so they just...
said, okay, take him back. Be safe. So
it's just so devastating. It makes me so upset because... that poor kid, I don't know if, like, he would have died anyway because of what Dahmer had already done. But, like, he didn't even have a chance.
Poor little baby.
So it just makes me really sad. And that poor family, you know.
Yeah. So upon anyway. The departure of the two officers from his apartment, Dahmer again injected hydrochloric acid into his brain, On the second occasion, the injection proved fatal. The following day, May 28th, Dahmer took a day's leave from work to devote himself to the disembowelment of the bodies of Young Kid and Hughes.
Dismemberment?
Yeah, dismemberment.
Jeff.
That's what I said.
Disembowelment.
Dismemberment.
Dismemberment.
Dismemberment. He retained both of the victim's skull.
Oh, gosh.
On June 30th, Dahmer traveled to Chicago, where he encountered a 20-year-old named Matt Turner at a bus station. Turner accepted Dahmer's offer to travel to Milwaukee for a professional photo shoot. At the apartment, Dahmer drugged, strangled, and dismembered Turner and placed his head and internal organs in separate plastic bags in the freezer. Turner was not reported missing. 5 days later, on July 5th, Dahmer lured 23-year-old Jeremiah Weinberger from a Chicago bar to his apartment on the promise of spending the weekend with him. He drugged Weinberger and twice injected boiling water through his skull, sending him into a coma, for which he died 2 days later.
My head hurts.
Mine is too, from all this stuff.
This is so sad, and he's escalating. He's getting, there's less and less time in between, so.
He really wants that slave.
Yeah, he's trying different things. He's determined to get it right this time.
Why doesn't he just order one from, like, Russia or some, like, typical people?
You can't just, oh, anyway, you all can. Right. Jeff, just.
On July 15th, Dahmer encountered 24-year-old Oliver Lacey at the corner of 27th and Kilbourne. Lacey greeted Dahmer's ruse of posing nude for photographs and accompanied him to his apartment, where the pair engaged in tentative sexual activity before Dahmer drugged Lacey. On this occasion, Dahmer intended to prolong the time he spent with Lacey while alive. After unsuccessfully attempting to render Lacey unconscious with chloroform, he phoned his workplace to request a day's absence. This was granted, although the next day he was suspended. Although strangling Lacey, Dahmer had sex with the corpse before dismembering him. He placed Lacey's head and heart in the refrigerator and a skeleton in the freezer. 4 days later, on July 19th, hey, it's my birthday, Dahmer received word that he was fired. That would piss me off.
What?
He just couldn't get ahead of the job. Upon receipt of this news, Dahmer lured 25-year-old Joseph Bradhoffs into his apartment. Bradhoffs was strangled and left lying on Dahmer's bed covered with a sheet for 2 days. Ugh. On July 21st, Dahmer removed these sheets to find the head covered in maggots, whereupon he decapitated the body, cleansed the head, and placed it in the refrigerator. He later acidified Bradhoff's torso along with those of two other victims killed within the previous months. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, he lost his job and he just went crazy.
Well, he was already crazy. Well, he was already escalating.
Yeah.
But that definitely didn't help. And up until this point, he had been on that path to escalation, but he really just went down a really deep, dark hole, and there he was either going to get caught or he was going to continue to do it, so.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So, those are most of his,
those were his victims.
His victims, yeah.
And we're going to end it there because
we'll save the rest for
part 3. There's still a lot that comes with his arrest and his imprisonment and everything else. And then if we have time next week, maybe we'll do something else from Wisconsin. But it just kind of depends on how long the rest of the Jeffrey Dahmer episode goes.
And the trial and everything, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a big one.
He is a big one. He's a big piece of caca. Yeah.
So anyway, guys,
how can you find us, Kaylee?
Well, first of all, I want to know what you're thinking about Jeffrey Dahmer and all of his people nomming.
What I want to know?
What? No, what, other people.
Okay, like, yeah, let us know what you think about Jeffrey. Is he as cool as me?
No. Yes?
Am I as cool as him?
Cooler.
Am I bad to the bone? Does he have a good head on his shoulders?
Stop. Are you tired of our puns?
Are you tired of me?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Anyway, let us know. We want to hear from you. So send us your emails with your stories, your personal stories, and your thoughts and theories and everything else at unitedstatesofhorror@gmail.com. We are most active on our Instagram and Facebook. That's Instagram's @UnitedStatesOfHorror. Facebook is facebook.com/UnitedStatesOfHorror. We also have a group page that you can join and kind of discuss things a little bit more privately so that you're, you know,
you don't feel
friends and family aren't wondering why you're commenting about Jeffrey Dahmer and all that stuff. And that's just the United States of Horror Fanatics on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then we're also on Twitter and TikTok, but not really, @US of Horror. And you can find us pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast. If you're listening to us, you know where to find us. So go ahead and share the episodes with your friends and family.
Rate, like, all that stuff. Yeah. Comment.
Our Patreon is patreon.com, /UnitedStatesOfHorror. You can find some bonus content there where we actually go to haunted locations and get some spooky evidence.
Yes.
So, besides that.
That's Dahmer Part 2.
Dahmer Part 2.
Bad Jeffrey.
Sorry we laughed the whole time. It's not funny what he did.
It's not funny. Bad Jeffrey.
Bad Jeffrey.
All right, guys.
All right, you guys have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye. That was really weird. Bye.
Bye.